Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Awesome first hour. Let's make hour number two even better. Inside of our Quicken Loan studio, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply, simply understand fully, and mortgage confidently here. So, 11 hoops games tonight. LeBron tomorrow. We'll get to the Nick Bosa story in a moment.
I know.
You did the same thing off the air, I think you did, right?
I did. I think I said it on the air, actually. I can't remember, but Nick Bosa.
Bosa.
They're both great.
They are. And his dad's pretty jacked, too. Remember when we met him at the Super Bowl? His dad is yoked.
He's huge.
His dad is a monster.
He's older than us, I think.
His dad's older than us, absolutely.
But I feel like he was young, or at least he looked young.
He definitely looked young, but he's definitely older than us. By the way, here's the poll question pertaining to Kevin Durant. Didn't give it out there. So, after Dove Nation's win in their opener last night, Kevin Durant was a bit snippy with reporters when asked about his impending free agency in conjunction with KD's brother's tweet last night, which we read. Is this KD's last season in Golden State? Yep, he's bouncing. Nope, he's staying. Short and sweet. And I just to connect that the dots on that conversation, there's one thing I didn't get a chance to say, and we can really dive into both. I know you're as excited to talk about this as I am, but I think it's a little small, and I think it's a little unrealistic of Kevin Durant to expect that he can place boundaries on what we ask when he is effectively, I'm not taking a shot at him, when he has effectively used us as a vehicle, as a liaison to further his messages, whether it's about his brand, whether it's about politics. Think about this. He sat in the ride with Kerry Champion, with KD.
Right.
Pretty deep stuff, right?
With LeBron, you mean?
With Kerry Champion was driving.
Yeah, KD, LeBron,
Uber,
and Kerry Champion.
Yeah. And they were cruising around when the Warriors came in to play LeBron's Cavs, and there was some poignant stuff in there. A lot of politics, a lot of race, a lot of hot-button topics for sure. That got a lot of play, rightfully so.
It did.
So, the thing that these athletes need to understand is that they do use us, and it works. It enables them to monetize stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Both directly and indirectly, whether it's selling stuff or just getting a brand enhancement that eventually will monetize itself, or just getting their thoughts out there, they can, but it doesn't mean we will respect their request not to ask certain questions.
Yeah, you're
right.
It's
unrealistic.
You have to ask the questions, especially as information starts to leak out by members close to Kevin Durant, like his brother, right? His brother puts him out on blast, and this is why I said family members of superstars like this should not have social media accounts, or at least should not tweet freely or IG or whatever it is freely about their siblings from their Instagram account or their social media accounts, because you create the question, right? How are we supposed to ignore your brother saying, you're out? You can't.
No, but even agreed on that, sure. But even if that tweet didn't hit or the Instagram post didn't hit last night, Kevin Durant created this conversation by signing for 2 years with an opt-out. I mean, it's common sense. You have the ability to opt out. Oh, when can you opt out? Let's see. Oh, the summer of 2019. Let's ask some questions.
Yeah, you have to.
Pretty basic.
The only way to get past it is just to stay level-headed and give the most boring non-answer that you can give.
Yes, but he doesn't seem able to do
that. No, you're right.
He's wired in a passive-aggressive, confrontational way.
Yep.
He really is Kevin Durant.
Yeah, he is.
And I didn't think that. And listen, that's fine. But a couple of years ago, that wasn't Kevin Durant. I believe that this is who Kevin Durant is. And I think the first couple of years was a bit of a mirage. And I think that he's just now feeling himself, and he understands his place in the world, and he can do what he pretty much wants, and he can say what he pretty much wants, and he thinks, I do think that he thinks he can control maybe a little bit more than he really can.
Yeah.
Because people are going to ask whatever they want to ask.
You can't control the narrative with the media.
All right, Nick Bosa, go ahead. You played in the NFL. Set this up. I want to give you first crack.
It's less about the NFL. So the story, and we briefly hit this yesterday, is Nick Bosa and his family have decided that he is not going to attempt to come back and play for Ohio State this year. Now, he had a core muscle injury against TCU, which was their third game of the season, mm-hmm. and he has missed the last four games and is likely not going to be healed until late in the season. He would have been able to play once they got to the college football playoff.
Or maybe the Michigan game.
So what it turns out, he has some torn groin muscles, and it's not just, you know, the typical groin, but I think it went higher up in his groin, and that's why they call it a core muscle. Groin, people think interior of your leg, but your groin goes all the way up into your abs. So when they say a core muscle injury, that's what they're talking about. And so it's dangerous for him to try to play on it right now. You know what I mean? If he mm-hmm. was to come out and try to tough through it, he could do some serious damage. You know, he probably could still be effective in a sense, but he could do some damage to himself. As a result of him maybe being able to come back and not definitively being able to come back, his family said, look, we're withdrawing from school. I don't know if Nick said this or his family said this, but he's withdrawing from school, and he's going to prepare to get ready for the National Football League, which is a business decision. It has nothing to do with his desire to be around his teammates, to help them win a national championship, get to the college football playoff, that camaraderie that you build in the locker room, all that is, in his mind, put to the side because he has to make a business decision. And it's hard to fault him, BT, because when you look at, you know, guys like him who were not guaranteed, but I'll say it because he is basically guaranteed to be a top draft pick in the National Football League.
Yep.
How can you, with economic prudence, risk playing a college game for free mm-hmm. when the future, which is lucrative, yep. is right around the corner? Mm-hmm. Now, this is unprecedented.
The answer is, by the way, you can't.
You can't, exactly. It's unprecedented. When we've seen guys miss bowl games, Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, we talked mm-hmm. about this a little bit yesterday. Yep. Guys will skip the bowl game because they've gotten through the season healthy. Put that in quotes because nobody's healthy when you play football, but they get through the season healthy. They haven't compromised physically their draft stock. But this is a situation now where if we might start seeing BT, and this is going to be a death knell for some of the great players in college football, where a guy who has proven himself as a freshman or sophomore, and man, this guy's definitely going to the National Football League, they get a little bit of a tweak, or maybe not even a tweak, decide sitting out this season because I need to preserve my body or preserve my economic viability, same word I use for Joey Bosa, for the National Football League. And that's going to be hell on college football and the college football landscape.
Okay. Like a couple things to react to that. The term death knell. You say death knell pertaining to the big programs?
To the big programs.
That's a very important point because I think what could happen – and the Gonzaga, in terms of college hoops, mm-hmm. was really a pioneer, forefront, mid-major. Clearly, haven't been a mid-major basically for 20 years since Casey Cavalry
yep.
in the late 90s when they made that sick run when Gonzaga started their prominence. I think what might happen is, this: first of all, players that will be in position to leave early, like Bosa, will be playing at the bigger programs, mm-hmm. you would think. And
yeah.
just
yes.
So you'll
who
see
who can come in as freshmen.
Correct. And five stars.
Start right away. Mm-hmm. Be impactful. Then this dude's going to be one of the best rush ins or cornerbacks or whatever, running backs, whatever it may be.
Yep.
In college football, and you see it as a freshman, and you see it for the rest of their career, however long they stay. Now the rules are they can't leave until 2 years post graduation from high school.
Absolutely.
So
that's going to homogenize the sport
in a way. Leonard Fournette almost kind of did this. By the way, he kind of did this, Leonard Fournette, right? He had some injuries. He probably could have played through him.
I don't know. He's hurt again.
Yeah, so maybe he's a bad sell guy. Yeah, but you know what I mean. But you remember when he was at LSU?
I remember it well. He missed a lot of time.
There was a lot of time.
Lower leg injuries.
Come on, you could play through that.
That's what we kind of thought. Because that's what we wanted. Because yeah. we were selfish.
Yeah.
Which, to your ultimate point, I would never begrudge a young man from or if the opportunity presents itself in the WNBA or
Agreed.
Something else lucrative, go get what you got to get. Get while you can, because nobody's going to hand you a blank check when you're not
right.
when you're not a commodity in terms of the athletic sense.
Performing commodity.
A performing commodity. I think that, you know, possibly could open the door for lower level teams in power conferences and power teams in mid-major conferences to close the gap, just based on
possibly
that would be several steps down the road.
Yeah,
because you would have, you know, a decrease in talent, and you'll have veteran teams. And the reason why the, you know, teams like Gonzaga, a lot of these mid-majors can compete because they have seniors playing against freshmen.
Yeah, that was UCF
and
last
juniors.
Year. That was UCF.
UCF, great example.
Perfect
UCF,
example.
Perfect example.
You know what I mean? They're not great, right? But they have veteran guys who have been around for a long time. At least they're allotted time, a full 4 years. So they're seniors. They understand the system. They're mature physically. Their bodies are strong and more able to deal with the length of a season. And so they just play better, right? More consistently.
Yeah.
And so you get a team like UCF, who ain't that good. Oh, yeah, but they go undefeated and win the AAC.
Yeah.
And share the national title.
And have rings, too.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't going to happen. We're not going to see college football programs deteriorate. But what it represents is something that a lot of kids haven't previously thought about.
Yep.
Right? A lot of second or third years that are in college right now or going to be second or third years that have already kind of stamped, you know, their entrance into the National Football League. They haven't thought about this. The rule was you just go play.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've got to go. We're trying to win. We're trying to win our conference. We're trying to get into the college football playoff. We're trying to do X, Y, and Z. Well, I'm going to go do that. Nick Bosa has now made it okay to say, bye, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I got bigger fish.
He's a pioneer in that sense.
You're right.
I don't begrudge him. I think I would encourage people, because I know we want to get some calls on this, right? I would encourage, listen, shape your own opinion, but I would encourage you to kind of look at it through this lens for a moment. Remove yourself from, I'm a fan of this school, and this could adversely affect me someday.
Yeah.
Because that's common sense. Yeah. As a fan, that's going to bother you a little
or
bit.
Saturday.
I get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Saturday. You said Sunday.
Or Saturdays. View it through this in this manner. Like, whatever you studied in school, whether you went to college, whether you went to a trade school, whether you got your GED, regardless of what level of education you have, whatever your main interest, you wanted to be an astronaut, I wanted to be on radio and TV. Of course, I wanted to be a baseball player, but I knew I had no shot. You were like a real shot. You were juggling a realistic chance to maybe be a pro athlete, but you were also a great student. And I knew that, you know, I have to have a journalism degree. Now, it's changed a little bit since the mid-90s. There's different outlets. There's local outlets. There's social media. There's podcasts. Different entrance into the field. I get that. But if you told me, and I wasn't an athlete, because I really enjoyed playing, even though I wasn't that good.
Yeah.
But if you told me, hey, listen, you're going to make, you know, whatever I make now, okay, you will be able to make this if you leave after your second semester as a sophomore, because we feel that you've already learned what you need to learn journalistically, and MSG Network or WFAN or CBS or whomever values you as the star. We got to put you in front of a mic. We're going to give you this money. Later. I would have left school in a heartbeat.
You're right.
Bye-bye.
You're
because
right.
At the end of the day, diplomas look good when you walk in, whether it's a psychologist, whether you go to your doctor, whatever it is. They look fancy. They're a decorative piece. Aesthetically, they add to your home. They add to your office. But at the end of the day, it's nothing. The paper means nothing if you don't actually have anything behind it, even if it's laminated nicely like mine is and like yours are as well. And, yeah, it's a nice conversation piece, but if you don't take the proper steps to pursue what you want to pursue, it's useless.
Yeah.
It really is.
And that's where,
so if you can gain that and get paid and leave early, why are you hanging around? For the paper? To walk up on a stage and shake the president's hand?
Look,
give me the money.
We hear it mostly in athletics, but think of all the tech entrepreneurs that have created ridiculously successful companies. Not even tech entrepreneurs. I think of Chris Burch, who was Tory Burch's ex-husband. Ex-husband who created.
Well, those shoes aren't cheap.
Oh, not at all. Gosh. But he didn't graduate.
No, I didn't.
You know what I mean?
Many of our
So many that got to the point, and he was selling. You know, I know this because I know Chris well. He was selling sweaters, right? It became a pretty big business, and he was like, you know what, I'm out, and he started a business. Now he's a billionaire, right? And because he had the opportunity. The same thing happens with athletes. The same thing happens with musicians.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happens with, you know, tech engineers. It happens.
Yet they're lauded, and the athletes are chastised. And it's so unfair.
Agreed.
It's just not right. It's not equal. It's not balanced. I guarantee we're going to take calls on this, and it's going to probably be split right down the middle, because I do believe people will have a rough time separating the fandom from the common sense aspect of it. But let's give it a shot. 1-855-212-4227. This is generational wealth. This is multiple branches on the family tree. This is not graduating. This is not like going to play in the ABA in 1974 and getting $78,000, which was great back in 1974. $78,000, which was great back in 1970s. But you're not going to affect three or four generations. Which you're going to have a nice Cadillac. You're going to probably, back then, go out and get some good drugs. Let's be honest. And wear some nice clothes. And that's it. You're not going to invest. You're not going to do that thing. If you could get 20, 30, 40 million, invest it wisely, get 5, 6, 7% the rest of your life, and you don't take it, you're an idiot.
You're right.
You really are an idiot.
It's why Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen and Saquon Barkley and all these guys that went at the top of the 2018 NFL draft, that's why they all left school early, because they needed to get it now.
That is right. Okay, we'll get calls, 855-212-4227. Interesting conversation. It's changing, and you need to be adaptable to the change. I'm not so sure that everybody is, but that's why we have these conversations. Really looking forward to these calls. Let's get them. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Tiki, coming up, we will rank them as part of our Wednesday, one of our built-in segments every Wednesday here on the show, and we'll rank our top 10 storylines coming into the 2018-2019 NBA season. You like your list?
I do like my list. A little bit different than yours.
By design,
my
so we
priorities.
Don't want to be too repetitive.
Exactly. But all the big ones are hit, and our little snippets, you'll get an idea of what we think is important come really today, because it starts today. We had two games yesterday, but it really, really starts in earnest tonight.
Full throttle tonight, 11 games, LeBron tomorrow in Portland, and then Saturday at Staples Center against against James Harden. Garnett cursed on live air, by the way, last night.
I know.
Just keep throwing him in front of the microphone.
Dude, he's gold, man.
By the way, what was that weird... What was that weird cartoon with Michael Jackson sitting on Shaq's bed?
What
the hell was going on with that?
They're getting a little...
I mean, I'm all about taking chances, but...
They had the one...
What was that?
They saw the one where they put shaving cream on this guy. It's like, ask the guys a question. Shaving cream. Some random dude.
Okay.
With a razor, and he's like, what's your thought on manscaping?
It was a cartoon or it was an actual...
No, it was an actual person. And what? Shaq is answering it like, yeah, do that manscaping thing. Yeah, do it. And he's
like... Is that what he
says? And Kenny's like, he's not talking about shaving. He's not talking about shaving, Shaq.
Oh, man. I love him. But last night was some interesting chances they took.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get some of these calls here. The question is, with Nick Bosa foregoing his final, really the rest of the season, to focus on the NFL... Do you begrudge a player doing this, going out and grabbing 20, 25, 30 guaranteed $1 million? Lou's in Maryland. Lou's on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Lou?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, how
are
you, buddy?
Good, man. What do you think?
Right. Look, without even hesitating 1 second, man, go get the money.
Yeah.
You know, we throw around money and figures so much in society today with athletes. Oh, yeah, he signed a 4-year, $100 million contract. $60 million guaranteed. Oh, yeah, no big deal. In the real world, man, you could build an empire with $5 million.
Yeah, you're right.
You could buy properties and flip them out, man, and double, triple, quadruple that money and set yourself up for life. So if you have an opportunity to secure 20 or 30 million guaranteed, don't even hesitate.
Yeah, yeah.
You always go back to school online or whatever and get your degree. But
man's not wrong.
It's a good point.
I'm with you, Lou.
Yeah, take your shot when you get a chance. If something happens, you still go back to school. Plus, you get $30 million in the bank or $20 million. If he's a top five draft pick, I mean, we saw the numbers. It's 30-something minutes. It's only going to increase a little bit over year. Saquon signed, and he was the third pick, or second pick. He signed a $32 million deal. Your guy, Darnold, was the third pick. He signed
Soon to be greatest of all time, Sammy Darnold.
You know what I mean? But it's $30 million.
$30 million.
You can't. I mean, even if Uncle Sam takes half.
Which he does.
Unless
he's uncustomarily lenient, which he's not.
If you end up with 15 after buying your mom a house and a car and everything, dude, you're set.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And what he said, thanks for the call, he said about even $5 million, you're set if you invest it wisely. Now, by the way, everybody's definition of set is different.
Yeah,
so
agreed.
You have to throw that out there. It's a relative.
You're comfortable.
I would even say that if you gave somebody a check, right, for two, like I love these HGTV shows. I love them. I don't watch them during football season as much because there's always something going on. But there was a point as we start to build our home. I mean, we were locked on these things every night. And like Waco, Texas, like the couple, Chip and
Julian. No, what's her name? They just had a baby.
They've got four. They have four kids. Point is, you could buy a home in like Waco, Texas, and flip it. You might buy it for like $170, and you could do that at so many different parts of the country.
I can't believe I can't remember her name.
Chip and his wife, and
it's she's annoying really cool
too. She's the one who designs the cabinetry. He knocks everything down.
Chip and Joanna. They just Chip had a baby. Joanna. I follow them on Instagram.
Okay. By the way, they make a lot. I mean, what they get paid per episode.
They just stopped the show.
I know they did because they wanted more money, and I think they're taking it somewhere else. But the point is that if you do that. And you tack on $30,000 or $40,000 in terms of refurbishments and enhancements, and then you flip it. You know, you could walk away $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in your pocket for each home.
Yeah.
So really, if you have $1 million and you just have a dream and a vision and two brain cells, you could really make yourself.
And
wealthy.
Now the question is, because we're talking about this from an outside perspective, if you're a fan of Ohio State and you're losing one of the great rush DNs. Now, he probably wouldn't have been that this year because he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you're losing a great player to the league in the middle of the season. Are you upset about it?
Well, Chris is in Ohio, so let's see if Chris is upset about it. I believe he's a Buckeyes fan, I would imagine. Chris, Tiki and Tierney, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Hey, not much. I'm actually picking my son up from football practice.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
So, anyway, I'm totally cool with it. I am an Ohio State fan. And, you know, it's given an opportunity to that young man, Trace Young, to step up, and he has this year. And
yeah,
he's played
right.
Phenomenally. So you see it as an opportunity for him to get Nick to get his body right for the NFL, and then an opportunity for Trace Young to come up or some other young man to step into that position.
Yeah, you see, you almost said Joey too, Chris. Now, here's the issue.
We all make that mistake.
Yeah, I know.
By the way, Chris, you're gonna wish you had Nick when you're losing a Michigan following game. You guys are losing that game.
Nope, that's not going
to
happen.
You're going to lose the game. But anyway, we'll talk to you another day, Chris. Thanks, buddy.
And here's the thing. Football has
I'm all in on this Michigan ride.
But football has a built-in mechanism to handle this, like when a guy like Joey leaves, because you've heard me say this many times.
At Ohio State, you do. At Illinois,
yes, that's what I mean. Like Ohio State and NFL programs,
gotcha.
Or Michigan or wherever, it's next man up, man. There's someone maybe not quite as good,
mm-hmm.
but not that far off, right behind him. And so, it's a big deal, but it's also not a big deal. And for some of the bigger programs, but if you get like, think about Virginia, the year that I was there,
yep.
right? The last couple of years, and it was me and Rondé and Jamie Sharper and James Ferrier. We had a good squad.
Very good.
Like if James Ferrier had just said after his third year, yeah, peace out, guys. I mean, I don't want to get hurt. I want to go to the National Football League. It would have severely affected us. We wouldn't have beat Florida State. You know what I mean?
I agree with that.
The same thing, because a similar thing happened the following year. Anthony Poindexter was one of the great college safeties. He stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't leave and go to the National Football League playing NC State. He blew his knee out, never had an NFL career. Like, he missed out on millions of dollars.
Is he doing all right now?
Yeah, he's fine. He's a coach, and he actually got drafted. Baltimore drafted him on potential.
You know what round it was? Like, did
probably fifth or sixth. Yeah, he did okay, but not,
gotcha.
I mean, not
gotcha.
What he would have. He lost millions of dollars.
Gotcha.
Put it that way.
Yeah.
So it's hard to blame guys. That's why I can't blame Nick Bosa.
I'm not.
At all.
You're not.
There's nothing I can do to say.
So far, nobody is.
Nobody should.
I'm pleasantly surprised. This is good. We're shifting. We're out of the cave. Okay, here we go. It's a lot of money. You got to go get it. Dwight is in Westchester, New York, about 30 miles, but about 10 hours from here. And Dwight's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Dwight, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good to hear from you guys.
Hey, what's happening, man? How are
you? I have absolutely no qualms about what Nick Bosa is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg,
exactly.
Bill Gates, and you can go on and on and on and name all the top billionaires. Most of them do not have a degree. They are not aligned with anybody. And, of course, the fans don't believe they own them like they seem to do in college football.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, to me, the guy that was the greatest of all is the one who played point guard at UNLV and is now the announcer in basketball.
Oh, Greg Anthony.
Yeah, Greg Anthony.
Yeah, Greg Anthony. When they came after him for those
for the shirts.
T-shirts he was selling.
For the shirts, yeah.
He said, how much do I need to write you for this college scholarship because I'm keeping the T-shirt?
he was quite a little entrepreneur. We know Greg well. Greg made a lot of money doing that back. And his wife is pretty smart, too.
Dwight, you're right.
I think she's a lawyer.
Guys should be – and that's the branding side of it that NCAA needs to figure out. Once you become a brand, it's criminal. It's anti-capitalism to restrict that just because you're a college student.
You're right.
Period.
You're right. By the way, Greg Anthony, how quickly time flies. His son, Cole Anthony, is one of the five best players in high school right now.
Wow.
Probably going to go to Duke or I believe his list is. I know Duke is on it. Maybe Kansas, Carolina, the usual suspects. I think maybe UCLA. Absolute star. Absolute cool. First round, top five lock star. All right, let's get the update from Jay. We'll come back. Speaking of hoops, we'll rank them. Top 10 storylines coming into the NBA season. That's next after Jay. Here's Jay.
What's up, people? Want a podcast to listen to? How about you check out mine, Tiki's Barbershop, being remade for the fall. But there's some great interviews on there. Great news. It's presented by Geico. Geico can save you 15% on car insurance. All it takes is going to geico.com, and you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
Okay, Teak, we'll get to inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment here on the show. Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Inbounds, out of bounds menu, a little something on the Dodgers Brewers, a little something on Drew Brees, a little something on Auburn, Iowa State, Miami Marlins, artwork with Jeter. So we'll get to all that coming up. But right now, it's a Wednesday, and to help us jumpstart the NBA season, we'll rank them. We'll each give you our top 10 storylines as we get ready to jump into the NBA season. Here we go.
Everybody loves lists. Who's the best? Who doesn't belong at the top? Tiki and Tierney give you a different top 10 every week and help you rank them. Number 10.
I keep bringing this one up, BT, and you keep shooting me down. But the Cavs aftermath. I want to see what happens in Cleveland post-LeBron, whether they just fully fall off the cliff like a lot of people expect them to do, or do they stay somewhat viable, maybe sneak in the bottom end of the playoffs with Kevin Love and company. Some young kids there, Sexton as well. But I want to follow this story.
There's Dr. Dre's aftermath, and then there's the aftermath that for some
reason. The Cavs aftermath.
You keep putting out there every day. All right, we'll see what happens with the Cavaliers. I got you. Fizdale. Fizdale changing the culture in New York, or at least attempting to do it, which is paramount. If they want to get that free agent, which they got Amari years ago, but he was a little bit banged up at that point. Nobody else wanted to go there. They got to prove that, you know, players like Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina, KP comes back healthy. Fizdale is well-received around the league. Will a megastar like Durant eventually join the forces? It's important he shows they have a good culture. That's a big job for Fizdale.
Number 9.
Who's going to be the MVP? We saw Westbrook, then it goes to Harden, but we saw LeBron hustling for it. Or is it Anthony Davis's year to finally get that long sought after MVP? This is a story to watch throughout the year.
I like it. I like it. It's a good one. I'm going to go a little Kawhi Leonard here. Is Kawhi happy, and is Kawhi Leonard healthy? Let's face it, he's one of the three best two-way players in the world when he's healthy. But I'll repeat, is he healthy? And if he is healthy, and I believe he is, will he prove to be happy in Toronto? He's better than DeRozan. I mean, significantly better than DeRozan. So why can't a healthy Kawhi elevate the Raptors without LeBron past where they went with DeRozan? It's not out of the equation.
Number 8.
Are the Pacers ready to shine? We saw a little bit of this in the postseason last year. Victor Oladipo seems to be ready to do so, but the Cavaliers and LeBron put them back in their place. But they have a good roster. Oladipo, Miles Turner. Can they move past the second round where they got hung up last year?
You know, I'm a big Pacers fan. I like them. I tout them every chance I get. How about this? Maybe the opposite of the Pacers. Who's going to tank most aggressively?
Oh, that's a good one.
Because there's some good players. R.J. Barrett, Williamson from Duke, Nasir Little, highly sought after, Bol Bol, Manute's son. You got Cam Reddish, Romeo Langford. Who emerges as the top prize? And who is, you know, just honest enough and wide open like the Mavericks were in their tank job? We'll see.
Number 7.
Where does Jimmy Butler go? Because Jimmy Butler is not going to stay on the Timberwolves. We know that for a fact. And if he goes to a team, say like the Heat or somebody, it could be contenders depending on where he ends up. This Jimmy Butler chase is going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's not going away all season until it actually does.
Yeah.
How about this, T? Number 7 for me, monitoring the rookie class. It's got a chance. I don't want to lump it into, has it got a chance to be the best of all time? I mean, because it's just so much burden on these young men. But
it's
DeAndre
good,
Ayton,
though, man.
It's good, man. I love all these kids. Marvin Bagley, Doncic, of course, Luka Doncic for the Mavericks. You got Jaren Jackson in Memphis, Atlanta's Trae Young. It's going to be interesting.
How many points per game does Trae Young have this year?
Trae Young.
He's got a free reign.
I'm going to say Trae Young's going to average about 18.7. He's going to shoot about 41 or 42%. He's not going to shoot great.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 42 shot attempts a game.
No, but he'll be a low percentage guy because they don't have a whole lot of veteran options near him. He's going to put up almost 19 a game. He'll score. He'll fill it up.
Number 6.
Talk about that number 1 overall pick, DeAndre Ayton. He's going out to the desert. Ayton and Booker in the desert, obviously a great team around them as well. Like, they were bad last year, obviously. They picked number 1 overall. But Trevor Ariza's now there. Dragan Bender's there. Mikal Bridges they have. And Josh Jackson. They're a squad. If they can get coached and matured correctly, they could be a threat. Not this year, but in the future.
Oh, they're
a team
that's
building.
Yeah, they're coming, man. You know what I like about Bridges? He's a 3-and-D guy. He fits the modern NBA.
No doubt.
So I'm a lot of Villanova. Bridges is a good player and a smart kid and a tenacious player. Number 6, you mentioned Jimmy Butler. I'm going to go a little bigger picture. Certainly a great one. I'm with you. But T-Wolves, is this about their rise or is this about their ultimate implosion? Mm. I mean, I don't sense much middle of the road here. If it's resolved nicely with Jimmy and everybody's harmonious, they're going to win 52, 53, 55 games and make a run. If he's on the team and they're still, you know, stabbing each other in the back, it's going to be a disaster. And if he's not on the team, what do they get back? And they can they sustain an upward mobility? T-Wolves, rise or implosion? Number 6.
Number 5.
All right, 76ers, it's post-process now. What are you going to do with yourselves? They got waxed the last night, particularly the second half. Markelle Fultz has to start, which moves J.J. Redick to the bench. Didn't quite work out that well last night. I'm interested to see that now people are not surprised by their rise, how good they advance. This is a story to watch because we have high hopes for them.
You know, I got a team that might be better than the Sixers. Matter of fact, I think they'll finish higher than Philly. How about Buds Bucks? Budenholzer. What a great hire, man. That was a really good hire. New head coach. You got a new style. Much more pass-oriented, a little high-octane, more. I think they average about 24, 25 threes per game, which is very different from how they've ever played before. So you mix in the fact that they've got a legit MVP candidate, they've got a new style and a new arena, which I've seen pictures of. It looks absolutely fat. Are they ready to hit a new level? They're on the precipice of being borderline great in the East. Do they get there? We'll see.
Number 4.
The Boston Wiz kid and his kid. That'd be Brad Stevens and Tatum and Jaylen Brown and obviously Kyrie Irving and Hayward. They looked fantastic last night in dismantling the 76ers. But the expectation is huge. They're supposed to win the East. Do they win the East and do they keep growing as we saw them at the end of last season? They looked great in the postseason until they didn't.
Well, here's a team that's almost always or was always supposed to basically win the Western Conference for a couple of decades. That's the Spurs. And right now, you know, is this the final lap for Pop? And if it's not the final lap,
feels like it.
Yeah. Is it the penultimate lap? It's getting there. He came up in 88 as a Spurs assistant. He was 40 years old. Now he's 70. It's 2018. And he doesn't project old. I don't mean that. But
no.
He lost his wife. We know about that. Does he just have the motivation and the desire to rebuild? Because they're just not the same franchise. With all due respect, they're not. So is this the final lap for Pop in San Antonio?
Number 3.
The Rockets 2.0. That is the Carmelo Anthony effect. He seems to be playing nice in the sandbox with D'Antoni, who hated when he was with the Knicks.
Watch when he gets
cold. We'll see what happens. Chris, CP3 is a year older. We all know his inability to stay healthy. We saw it last year. And it really affected them. Obviously, they lost the Western Conference because he got hurt. So what happens with Carmelo Anthony? Does he accept his role? They hang on to Clint Capella. Obviously, a good roster. Can Eric Gordon repeat what he did last year? They shot from outside like crazy. Can they keep doing that with a ball stopper now on their roster in Carmelo?
Oh, boy. You know my thoughts on that. I'm actually kind of rooting for Carmelo, even though
I am too.
I just
got to see how it happens. The storyline, man. They were good last year.
This could very well be number one, especially the world in which we live, what we tend to gravitate to. Will LeVar butt in? Will LeVar Ball butt in? I mean, eventually Lonzo's, his jump shot's going to be crooked, or they lose 4 or 5, or something goes a little awry. It's not going to be a linear season. There'll be some turns and twists for this Lakers team because they're young and you got to transition. Does he tap against LeBron? Like, does he ever weigh in anything remotely negative against LeBron? And if he does LeBron weigh in and mute him or ignore him? When that happens, that will be the biggest story in terms of clicks of the entire year, barring, God forbid, a death or something. Wait for that to happen.
Number two.
The Warriors, can they three-peat? We haven't seen one in a little bit now, a three-peat, but can the Warriors do it? They're poised to. We know what the West looks like and the challenges that are out there, but if Boogie comes back, great, and they're going to be hoisting rings again if Boogie is healthy and can play like he did before his Achilles injury last year with the Pelicans. So can the Warriors, KD, etc., Steph, Clay, can they do it again?
You know, I was watching a spot with Draymond. I guess he was in Tokyo and he was doing a sit-down. This was over the summer, and he was having a conversation, and they asked about that. And he said, hey, listen, I'm boys with Boogie, but, you know, we know how he is and we know how I am, but eventually we're going to throw down at some point this season. But he kind of smiled, but he said, it's probably going to happen. He said, but we have something we've never had. We need a bucket. We throw it into the post. We've never had that.
Right.
Now we got it. Plus, he could hit threes. All right, number two for me. Anthony Davis, extension or trade?
I forgot about this one.
I don't think there's any middle road here, man. The Pel's leverage right now will never be this high in terms of commanding max value for a trade because he's got more than 1 year left on his deal. So if he refuses to sign the extension, will New Orleans do the smart thing and deal him? Or let sentiment win out, which would be the wrong thing, and hope that he changes his mind.
Let me distract you for a second. Do you think he wants to stay in New Orleans?
No, I think he's going to be gone.
Yeah,
I don't. I do think he likes the city.
Yeah,
and there's this basketball renaissance, revitalization, so to speak. But I think he's elsewhere. I think he's got his eyes on a bigger stage.
I think you're right.
Number one.
This one's easy. LeBron and Los Angeles. LeBron James is the king of basketball right now. Even if he is ticking down a little bit, notches to KD and some of these other guys. But LeBron is the king. And he's going to, I was going to say destroy, but I mean that in a good way. Mm-hmm. Destroy L.A. Make it his mansion with all the things that he's going to have going on the production side, but also on the influence on the court side. I mean, I don't know how you get tickets to a Los Angeles Lakers game right now.
You reach into your pockets, and if you have a lot of money, you could go. And if you don't, you can't. You better watch them on TV.
I'm talking about the layman. Seriously.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the layman has been going for 20 years.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Sadly.
But LeBron is the story of the offseason. He will be the story, at least in the early part of this season.
No question. I mean, that's the obvious number one. I'll go in a different direction just so we're not repetitive here. And we touched on this. Durant's staring at a free agency. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was actually working on this last night before he actually said what he said post-game, and I still had this number one. He's an interesting cat. He's a little unpredictable. He's an interesting mixture of real and passive aggressiveness. He's an interesting cat, and there's going to be times when the KD watch is riveting, it's painful, but it's always going to be interesting. That's number one for me, Teak.
That was this week's Rank 'Em with Kiki and Tierney.
By the way, I'm going to tell you, do you have something to say?
No, I was going to say, did we miss any? Is there any, miss any?
I mean,
oh, that's D-Cell. D-Cell, if you think of one, let us know. Or if you guys have one out there, let us know.
Yeah, we can get calls on this as well. You know what I do when I do something this all-encompassing, because it's daunting.
Yeah.
Because, to try to select 10 and not omit something that's obviously very important.
Yeah, right.
It's tough. So I just go to the standings, right? I go to the standings and I look at, you know, just knowing what I know, the intel of each team as a huge NBA fan. And I know what's truly relevant, what's semi-interesting to me, but not nationally relevant. And I don't think I missed anything big. Like, I don't think there's anything glaring where I'm like, oh, my God, how in the world did I miss this one? No, I love our list. I think we both did a good job.
No, I think we did, too. The only one that I would have done, and it's more of a business side, is what happens out in Portland. We mentioned Paul Allen passing away yesterday or 2 days ago. What happens out there? Succession planning, the organization. I don't think they're going anywhere, but you know,
they're entrenched. I agree, but
it's just interesting to see. There's no heir. There's no plan. I mean, there may be a plan, but it's not public. So that would have been a business one that I would have mentioned, but it wasn't one of the top storylines.
Mm-hmm. And listen, by the way, do I think that the entire world is, you know, waiting with bated breath on how Fizdale does with the Knicks? No. But the reason that's number 10 for me, it's not about win total this year. It's about, you know, can you create a culture that's appealing to stars like that they would actually want to join it?
Yeah.
The Knicks, this is going to sound irresponsible, but it's been out there, and people have, players have said this. The Knicks felt like they were run by old white guys. I don't know how else to say it, man. I'm not going to tap dance around it. And young African-American players don't feel that.
Yeah.
And they've talked about this.
Yeah, you're right.
Durant said, I'm not going to play for Phil Jackson. Mm-hmm. LeBron's like, I'm not going to play for that guy. And now you have Fizdale, and not just because he's African-American, but because he's young, and he's got relationship with these guys, and he's a Pat Riley disciple, and he's got a coolness and an aura that I do believe people are going to want to play for. This year is going to be rough. Knicks are going to lose a lot, but it ain't about the W's. I think this is the last year the Knicks are bad in terms of wins and losses.
How many games do you think KP plays?
See, that's an interesting question. I personally think it's important for him to play, mm-hmm. to signal to Durant.
20?
Not to rush it, but 10,
games?
12, 15? Yeah, you don't have to be overambitious with it. Just show you can play a little bit. All right, third hour coming up, inbounds, out of bounds.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.